Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody out again to the home group meeting. And this will be part nine to the one prayer, the pathway to the heart of the Father. But before I get going, I'd just like to make an announcement that there will be no home group meeting in May. In May, Karen and I will be headed to Istanbul, Turkey, and Silistra, Bulgaria, and Constanza, Romania. And so we will be gone when we would be having a home group meeting. So there will be none in May, but there will be one in June. And so we're just counting on the Lord to give us a wonderful time as we go into Eastern Europe. I just know it's just going to be a very, very powerful time. Amen. So this is part nine of a nine-part series on prayer. And as we go ahead, and we always do what I'd like to do, I'd like to go back and pick out 3 points that we looked at last month, kind of get our hearts and our spirit kind of pointing back to what, you know where we talked about then, and we can go ahead and move forward. And for those that were here last month, then you probably remember these points. And the first point that that we saw from last month is success is only found in the will of God. We talked about how prayer ties into the will of God and how success is only found in the will of God. Now, that is not just in the things of God, but success in our natural life, in our jobs that we work and stuff like that. Success even in those things are only found in the will of God. If you're a baker, then it's God's will for you to be a baker, then you will be successful as a baker. If God wants you to be a baker and you want to be a plumber, then you're not going to be happy as a plumber and you won't be very successful. But success is always found only in the will of God. The second point we looked at is God must teach us to pray, and must teach us that prayer is the beginning of God's response. Let me say that again. And God must teach us individually that our prayer is the beginning of God's response. And that is a beginning as we pray and we lift that prayer up to the Lord. That is the beginning point of having that prayer answered and have it be for ourselves or have it be for somebody else. But prayer, our prayer, and that's why our prayer is so important. It is always the beginning point of God's response to a situation or a circumstance. Now, I like this last one, and that is our prayer and our response is to be an expression of what God wants. Wow, I like that. Our prayer, you know, is to, and our response. God is always looking for that response. And so when we pray, we just don't pray and our words just don't go up in the air. We pray and then there's going to be a response to that prayer. And that response is to be an expression to what God wants in that given situation or that circumstance. There's always a response that God is looking for in our prayer. And that is to be an expression of God. You know, we're to see God's, you know, nature and His character and His personality come shining through. Amen. So those were 3 points that we looked at last month and part nine. Amen. So this is how our, and you can follow along in your notes. And so this is how our communion and our union and moving into the heart of God. And all of that now brings us into the harmony in which God is in these responses and the reactions, determined by how much we get into God through prayer. So this last part is going to be like a roll-up of a lot of different things that we looked at also over the last 9 parts. The more we get into the heart of God in prayer, the more on cue and the more of the will of God we will be in response. And for us to, for us as we see in the Spirit what is going on. The more we get into the heart of God in prayer, the more we'll be able to move and function with God. This is when, and this is where we're all heading. A lot of my friends will ask me, they will say, Dave, where are you headed to? And I tell them, well, you know, in May, Karen and I are headed to, Turkey and Bulgaria and Romania. But for my friends, you know what I tell them? I tell them, I'm heading back to where I came from. I'm heading back to where I came from. In Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man. Let us make man in our own image. Where was man at that time? Man was in the heart of God. And that's where we're all headed to as a Christian. We all were heading back to where we came from. We are all heading back to the heart of God. And the more that we can get into the heart of God, the more, you know, we can get there. And, you know, as we've seen through the series, is when we get into the heart of God and what God wants through prayer. And the more we get back into the heart of God, the more we'll be able to flow and function with Him. The more we can take His heart upon us. The more, you know, the more we can feel like, you know, like God and act like God and just, you know, just feel like God, the more we'll be able to function and move with Him. We just learn to move and respond and react like Him. And it all comes out of this union and this harmony with Him. Not communication as much. God is not as concerned about communication with us as He is communion with us. God would rather have communion with us than communication. Communication is talking and asking and beseeching and all of those things. But communion is a heart relationship where our heart goes to God and God's heart comes to us. And out of this harmony and this union and this communication, that's what God is after. That habitual communion brings us into all of this. And all of this comes out from us in the result of that of a fulfillment of the union that we have with the Lord. That oneness. Like our children are a product of our union and producing what God was produced. The more we can stay in communion, communication with God, the more we'll be able to function like Him. Our communion with God will enable us to function like Him. So if we lack communion with the Lord, if we do not have that communion with the Lord, we will not be able to function as He desires us to function. The more we can stay in communication, the more we'll be able to move and operate, the more we'll be able just to do the things that God has wanted us to do. This is why this is important. This is why God makes a way for us through prayer back into His heart. The more we have communion with Him, the more we will know His heart. The more we'll be able to go to His heart. We'll understand what He wants. He wants this unity. So we can become what God wants us to become. And our reaction and our responses are an expression from God. Wow. As we have that communion with Him, our actions and our responses are an expression from God. An expression of God. If God is speaking in wrath, then we will be speaking in wrath. Whatever God is doing, we need to be a part of that. We need to be a part of that. And the more that we have this communion with God, the more we'll be able to be a part of what God is doing. And if we can lay aside our ongoing and our own expression and desire and desires, God can take us into Himself and make us an outgoing expression of His desires. Our actions and our reactions become automatic. Then we become God's expression automatic. That's what God is looking for us in our life. God is looking for righteous living in us to where we just live right. We don't have to stop and say, okay, now I'm going to do the right thing this time. I'm not going to sin this time. I'm just going to live right. God is looking for us to have this relationship with Him to where it becomes natural, just like breathing. We don't have to stop to think to breathe. Breathing is automatic, it's natural. And that's what God wants with us, with that communion that we have with Him. Our life becomes an expression of what He's doing on the earth, how He touches and all of the things that He does. Like breathing, we become an
expression of God without thinking about it or trying to do it. The more that we are in communion with Him, the more we're able just to flow with Him, and the more this righteous living will just be a natural reaction. It will be our being of reaction. It's the way we will react. It will just be right. It will just be what the Lord wants. In Philippians 4:6, it says, why does God want us to ask? Interesting. In Philippians 4:6, let's go ahead and go to Philippians 4:6 if you have your Bibles. Amen. Philippians 4:6. I'm going to get over here under the light. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by grace and supplication. That word supplication is not the supplication that we think of. That word supplication there in the Greek is beseeching. And we looked at beseeching last week, which is like a quick prayer, you know. So in prayer and quick prayer, with thanksgiving, let your responses be made known unto God. Be made known unto God. Amen. He knows what we want before we ask, so why should we ask? Why do we have to ask God? Because God knows what we want before we even ask. But why does He want us to ask? Well, He's got a reason. Because God has birthed many children, and He is training them. God has birthed many children, and He's training them. He is making them to grow. God has birthed many children, and He's training them to grow. Because He wants them to be involved into His kingdom, and to be involved with Him. Now, when we think about the kingdom of God, we have this castle on a hill, and the flags, and stuff like that. But I'm here to tell you that is not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not a place. The kingdom of God is not a place. And I wrote this down here. The kingdom of God is not a place, but it's a heart condition of understanding. And it is always God operates, or how God operates and functions on earth as He does in heaven. The kingdom of God is not a place. It's not a church. It's not a denomination. It's a heart condition. It's an understanding of how God operates. And Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eat and drink, it's not meat and drink, or earthly things, but it is love, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not of the earth. It's not earthly. It's not eating and drinking, but it is love and joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it this way in Luke 17:21. He said that, lo, the kingdom of God is within us. The kingdom of God, Luke 17:21, said that the kingdom of God is within us. God told us to ask, but He did not say for us to ask for ourselves all the time. Amen? We are to ask for other people. We are to ask for others, like our giving. We give so that others may receive. God has asked us to ask for other people so that they may receive. God knows what we need. And so God wants us to be a part of what He's doing. And so we ask for Sandra. I ask for my wife. I ask for Samantha. I ask for whomever. God knows what I need, and He's going to supply what I need. God knows that. So now I don't have to spend all my time in prayer praying for myself, dear Lord, bless David. I can say, dear Lord, bless Betty. Because that's an expression of what God wants to see. This is His intention when He created Adam. This was God's intention for man to be involved with Him. When God births one into His kingdom, it is intention to totally involve him. Remember, the kingdom of God is not a place. It's not a realm. It's not a castle as many people try to envision. But the kingdom of God is within us. It is that understanding and it is that spirit. You know, there is a difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is a place that we're going to go to someday. And Jesus was very clear about that. Talking about the kingdom of heaven, it's the place that He went away to prepare for us. But the kingdom of God is within us. It is joy. And it's peace. And even if you go on to the next verse here, if you go on to the next verse, verse 7, it says, flipping entry, let's go and read that. And the peace, wow, and the peace of God which passes all understanding. The kingdom of God is peace and joy and love and the Holy Spirit. Shall keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is within us. And when God brings us into the kingdom, He wants us to be totally involved with what He is doing. Not only to get into the kingdom, but to be involved. And so we are being trained. That is why we must ask. Our asking, it's not that God needs to know, believe it or not, what we want, because He already knows what we want. But God wants us to ask so He can train us. Asking is for our benefit, believe it or not. So He can train us and He can teach us even through our asking. He can teach us and He can train us how to walk and work with God, with one with God. We must always be about the Father's business. And we must always be like the Father. And His intention is to bring us into the kingdom, to bring us into that joy and that peace and that love in the Holy Spirit. And this is what He wants in our life. Too many Christians are just happy just to come into the kingdom, the joy and the peace, and then they're not the expression of God. Because once God brings us into the kingdom, yes, we got the peace, we got the joy, we got the love. But God has a reason to bring us in, and that's to involve us. Many Christians come into the kingdom and they're happy and everything is going, but they leave the heavy lifting to others. And we see that in church, don't we? Many Christians come to church, but how many people are involved? Statistically speaking, 3% of people in church, 3% do 100% of the work in most churches. 3%. 3% of a church does 100% of the work. And that's not God's intentions. God's intention is to bring us into the kingdom, bring us into that peace and the joy and the love and the Holy Spirit. And He wants us to get involved. He wants us to get involved. He wants us to be an expression of His love to the church. You know, I mean, I think I said this last time. You know, I'm not really too concerned about being blessed. Everyone says, oh, God, bless me, bless me, bless me. I'm not too concerned about, you know, about being blessed. I am more concerned about me being able to bless somebody else. I'm more concerned about me being a blessing to my wife. I'm more concerned about me being a blessing to God. If my focus is, God, come bless me, I'll never be able to be a blessing to others. We come to church not to receive a blessing. That happens by the way. But we come to church so that we can bless others. Sandra, when you get up there and you lead the choir, you're blessing others. We go to church to bless others. Our focus shouldn't be coming in there to, come on, Pastor Don, preach good and bless me, and I, choir don't sing, I ain't going to get a blessing. And, you know, we go into church. Our focus should be on blessing others. Can you imagine how the church would be if everyone's focus was all about blessing somebody? I'm going to go to church and see if I can bless somebody and not worry about being blessed. God brings us into the kingdom so that we can get involved. That love and the joy and the peace and the Holy Spirit so that we can be able to bless people. Whew, wow. Wonder how this world would be if the Christians would just be more concerned about, you know, getting nerves from God. God will take care of you. God, don't worry about what you wear. Don't worry about what you eat. Look at the lilies of the field. They Spend not. The birds don't worry. And your Heavenly Father loves them. We don't need to worry about God giving us all these things. We need to worry about blessing others, and God will take good care of you here, I promise. All this training begins on a lower level in our life, though. We first come to the Lord, all of this training that God has worked in our life comes to a lower level. We are trained in our asking, developed to come in line more and more with the will of God. The more and more that we are trained, the more and more, and prayer is one of those ways, again, as you know, that God used to train us. And the more training in our asking develops to come into line with more and more of what God wants. God does not need our asking, but God wants us to be involved. He must train us. And when we first come into the kingdom, we think we are fit to rule and reign. I don't know about you, but the first, when I became a Christian, the Lord began to use me. Now, I've spoke to millions of people. But when the Lord started to use me and stuff, I thought I was somebody. Lord, have mercy. Now, I'm going to tell you a little later about my first ministry opportunity. First ministry opportunity. I thought I was somebody. Wow. That's a trap. That's a trap. You know, Paul says a novice should not teach or preach. Not because the novice will fail, but because the novice may succeed. You see that? A novice succeeding, they get their head big puffed up, and boy, they're just pulling their pants up around their, you know, they're just, you know, they're tough, they're hot, they're, you know, it's them and God, you know. It's good for us to be knocked down a couple levels when we first start ministering to keep us down there. Amen. Amen. When we first come to the kingdom, we think we're fit to rule and reign, and we're all of that, and we're fit to do all we're fit to do is make a big mess of things and have somebody else to clean up our mess. You ever notice that? It's always somebody else, you know, and I could tell you sad story after sad story after sad story of my life where people had to clean up after me, but I learned. Paul tells us we're to be learning and ever learning. But that's not what I see often. And I speak from a global perspective. I often say learning, but never learning. They're in school. They're sitting there, they're in school. And they're learning, but they're not getting the lessons. That's what Paul was talking about the Corinthian church. They were learning, but they were never learning. We are to be learning and ever learning. God puts up with our selfishness. Oh, thank God. He put up with my selfishness. I had people that loved me dearly put up with my selfishness, my arrogance, and my big-headedness. I thought, oh my gosh, I'm just, you know, wow, you know, I'm there. But there comes a time when we got to grow up. There comes a time. Now God will put up with us. Or give us sugar and pat us on the back and change our diaper and do all those kind of things. But there's a time in our life as we walk with Him, He expects us to grow up. He expects us to stop all that garbage and that shenanigans and all that selfishness and all that stuff and grow up. He expects that in our life. God is making us fit. God is making us fit. God is training us so we can come into line with the will of God and all of our asking. So that our asking is a part of our training. Asking is a part of our training. In our prayer, asking God for things is a part of our training. Even if we're asking for other people. We line up with God. We can see where we make mistakes and where we are corrected. So that our asking comes away from ourselves. Whoa. Our asking comes away from ourselves. Let me say that again. I'll say it loud. Our asking comes away from ourselves. How many prayers did Jesus pray for Himself? Teach us to pray.
Disciples asked him. You know, I always found that was kind of amazing because John the Baptist's disciples prayed before the disciples that Jesus had. Isn't that amazing? Look at the Bible. They say, John, teach us to pray as John's disciples pray. John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. And the Jesus, okay, you know, and then, of course, the Lord's Prayer. Amen. But our asking is supposed to come away from us. We are to pray for others. We are to pray that others may receive. We are to, you know, our asking is just, it's just supposed to, you know, just supposed to come away from us. Amen. Ourselves and more as we line up with God. Practice is asking, being one with Him. Our asking of God should be for others, as I said. Amen. This earthly experience is just OJT. Does everybody know that term? OJT? On the job training? This earthly experience, Jeanette, is OJT. It's all on the job training. The real stuff is coming later. I like that so much. Jim, I'm going to say it again. The real stuff that we're going to handle is coming later. The word adoption in the Bible has nothing to do with our English word adoption. Let's go ahead and go to Galatians 4 and 5. Now, we look at that word adoption, and we think about that word. It's very important when we study the Word of God that we don't take a word in the Bible and overlay a 2013 understanding on that word. Because when we do, then we will miss the point of what is being said. And I don't care what word it is, you take the Bible and you look at words, and yes, you got to go back and you got to get some books out and go back and look in the Greek and in the Hebrew, and you will get the understanding and the word that was meant by the speaker that was written in the Bible. Galatians 4 and 5, an example of that. Amen. Galatians 4 and 5 says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of the Son. Now you're going to receive the adoptions of the Son. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. So 2013, when we hear that word adoption, Damien, we go ahead and we think of someone that is outside the family, is brought into the family, and now they are in the family, and they have your last name, and so forth, and so on. Well, that is not what Paul was talking about right there. That is not the process that Paul was talking about. He was talking about that training process that God even uses prayer in our life through. Amen. Amen. We are birthed, we are redeemed in a family so that we may be adopted. So that we may be adopted. What Paul was talking about is bringing a son into a responsibility, into the business. And the household of a young man, after years of training with his tutors and his teachers, now they have been adopted. Let me read that again. A young man, after years of training with his tutors and his teachers, now they have this adoption. And the adoption is a big feast for 3 days that the father throws as a time of rejoicing, because now they can be adopted, because, you know, they can adopt their son who was born into the house. So the son was already born into the house, but he wasn't adopted yet. The adoption happens after the son receives the training, after the tutors and the teaching, and after the son learns the lesson, after the son does all of that stuff, believe it or not, he has been adopted into the family. Now he speaks for the father. Now the father sets him up in business. Now he has the responsibility for speaking for the father. all of this happens. He's in the family. He was birthed into the family. But he is adopted into the business of the family. And now he can speak for the family. This means the parents are going to set him up publicly as a responsible member of the family. The parents bringing their son into the business after the training. And God will do the same with us. God will bring us into the business. God will bring us in to what He wants for our lives after we receive the training. After training, God will set us up into responsible places and positions. And we will have been trained to ask in the will of God, to react in the will of God, to live righteous so that what we will be right. We'll just be trained and we'll just be able to move right. Remember when I was about 14 or 15 years old, amen, I felt the Lord was calling me to ministry. It was wonderful. I said, it's time to get busy. It's time to get busy in ministry. So I went to the pastor. His name was Howard Reckley. I love Howard Reckley to death. He is dead. I remember Howard Reckley every Easter, he would sing Jerusalem. You know that song, Jerusalem? Jerusalem. And, I mean, he was like 5'6", didn't need a microphone, and he could just clean the back wall. What a voice, you know, and many other wonderful memories with him. But I went to him and I said, Pastor Reckley, I'm ready to get involved in ministry. He said, really? And I said, yes. And he said, wow, that's wonderful. He said, well, what would you like to do? And I said, well, I don't know, maybe I could take over children's ministry or something. I could work with the kids or something like that. He said, really? And I said, yeah, I think I can do that. And he said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, if you go downstairs, third door on the right, I think that would be a great place of ministry for you. And I thought for a minute and I said, downstairs, third door on the right, first thing. That's the bathroom. He said, yeah. He said, that's the bathroom. And I said, what? And he said, yeah. He said, I want you to clean the toilets. And I said, what? He said, I want you to clean the toilets. And I said, okay, I'll do that. And I was faithful. I hated to clean the toilets. How many 16-year-olds do you know like clean the toilets? Not too many 16-year-olds like clean the toilets. But I'd go in there, and I know the toilets would I clean, but I'd clean the sink. And I'll clean the walls. And we had the best looking bathroom in the world. That was my bathroom. It wasn't the church's bathroom. It wasn't God's bathroom. That was my bathroom. That was my responsibility. And I was honored that my friends, people in the church, to go in there and use my toilets. I was honored to have them go in there and dirty my toilets so that I could clean them. If you're not ready to clean toilets, then you're not ready to do anything in God's service. This training will not be an intellectual training, but a spiritual training that gets into our spirit. Don't you know that that got into my spirit? It will become part of us. That uniting will be real. The uniting so that God in us will become as one. Don't you know that God and I became one as I cleaned those toilets, as I cleaned the floor, as I cleaned the sink, as I cleaned the mirrors? It was the highlight of my week. All right, someone messed up the bathroom. That wasn't in my intellect. That was in my spirit. Then, in ages to come, can put us into responsible places and positions where He's going to have to tell us what to do. He has already trained us, and we know what to do. We just do right. All we do in God must be done in the spirit. It can never be done in the intellectual. That's why intellectuals can never, ever teach the Word of God. The Word of God is a spiritual subject. The Bible is a spiritual book. Everything that we do must be done in the Spirit. And if it's not done in the Spirit, then you're wasting your time. There will be no effect in the lives of the people if you cannot bring the Spirit of God to the people. The Spirit of God must be brought to the people. I don't care what we do for God, it must be done in the spiritual realm. Singing, preaching, cooking, baking, I don't care what you do for God, it must be done in the spiritual realm. Moving as a working part of the kingdom involves a lot more than just what we think of right now. Heaven is not the end, it's the beginning. So many people think, well, we're going to die and go to heaven and that's it. Well, that's not true. We're going to die and go to heaven, but that's just the beginning. Heaven is the beginning. And there's ages and ages and ages to come. You know, I don't know why we think we're going to go to heaven and, you know, float on clouds and play harps and wear crowns. I tell you, if that's all that we have to do when we die, I'm not sure I just want to go and play a harp. But, you know, there's got to be more. There's just got to be more, and there is. There's just so much more. Heaven is not the end, it's the beginning. We have not started yet. This earthly experience is an OJT, on-the-job training for our next life. Whatever that may be. The Bible I read says we're going to go to heaven and we're coming back to earth. The Bible says that we will rule and reign in heaven. No, we will rule and reign with Christ on the earth. We're going to heaven and we're coming back to earth. God gave the earth to man. The earth is ours. God loves the earth. And what we do now is OJT. It's on-the-job training that will enable us to be successful in our next life and the life after that and the life after that. We have not yet started. We are training. So while in training, we need to do it right. We're willing to go with God even unto death, so God can bring you into resurrection, which there is a fulfillment of God allowing us to move in God as He wants us to. You know what the purpose of death is? Resurrection. The purpose of death is resurrection. It's not to die. Romans 6:5 says, unless you are baptized into my death, there will be no newness of life. Wow. The purpose of death is not to leave us dead, especially as a Christian. Because even sinners, once they die, will be resurrected. And they go to hell. But even in death, their purpose is resurrection. John 12:24 said, unless a grain of wheat fall into the grain or into the ground and die? No. Unless a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, then there will be no life. Life in God comes out of death. And the purpose of death is resurrection in our life. And the more we can taste of death, the more of resurrection life we can have of our life. The more of death to ourself, the death to our desires, and death to all of these things that we want today, the more we can die in all of those areas, the more of resurrection life we'll be to have in the ages, well, have now, in the ages to come. If we walk in that pathway of communion with God, He will make us what He wants us to be. Wow, I like that. If we walk in that pathway of communion with God, He will make us what we want to be. Many believers
for the want of their desires here and now on earth, will miss out on the entire projection throughout eternity for their lives. Many believers, because of the things that they want today, they're not willing to die to self. They will miss out on the entire projection throughout eternity for their lives because they simply wanted their way for a few years. We must fall to the ground just like that piece of corn or that wheat and die so that God can get the production He is after in our life. We must not rely on God to do all the work. We must open our heart to the Father. And we must allow Him free reign and work in our lives as He's training us. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship." Don't ever think Chapel by the Bay or any church you go to or any ministry or any of that stuff is the work of God. That is not true. We are the work of God. I like that. We are the work of God. Ephesians 2:10, it says workmanship. In the German language, that word workmanship is Baustelle. Baustelle, for construction. For we are the Baustelle of God. We are the work of God. God gets to work on us. He gets to change us. He gets to work in us. And if we do not allow God to work in our lives, if God does not allow, if we do not allow God to touch us and work and mold us and shape us, then we will miss out on the projection that God has for us for all of eternity. We must not waste this time on earth. We must not waste this time on earth to have our way. We must not. If we do, then we will miss out on what God has for us in ages to come. Prayer is the pathway back to the heart of God. And as we have that more communion with God, the more we'll be able to walk that pathway back and forth. And the more that we can get into the heart of God, the more we'll be able to function with Him and move with Him. The more we'll be an expression, His expression upon the earth, the more we'll be able to know what He wants and how He operates and how He functions. Now is the time that we must allow God to work in our life. And He works through our lives through dealings and judgments. And they hurt. God works in our life through dealings and judgments in our life. He brings us into narrow places. Narrow, straight places. And they're very difficult in our life. And He brings us there for a purpose. And that is to train us and teach us and work on our life. And He brings us to confess. He brings us to cry and oh my gosh. He brings us to the wilderness, a wonderful place, where we say there's no life. You know what the wilderness is? The wilderness is a place where you go and you can scream at God and no one can hear you. But it's a wonderful place where you learn to trust in God. It's a place where you learn that God is your beloved. Song of Solomon 8:5 says, "Look, who is he coming up out of the wilderness, leaning upon his beloved?" The wilderness is the place we go to where we learn how God operates and functions. It's a making place in God. But unless we allow God to work in our life, then we'll never be able to become the expression of God. We'll never, ever be able to become the things that God wants us to be. We must allow God free reign and to work in our hearts and allow Him to use us and allow us to be that workmanship. We are the workmanship of God. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your love and your many blessings, Father. Lord, we thank you for your word, Father, Lord God. Lord, I say for myself, Father, Lord God, for myself, Father, Lord God. Work on me ever the more, Father, Lord God. Work on me ever the more. I know there's areas in my life, Father, Lord God, that I need your touch. I need your work in my life. There's areas, Father, Lord God, I need trained in, Father, Lord God. There's so many things I need in my life, Father, Lord God. Lord, I'm not going to speak for anybody else tonight, Father, Lord, and the thousands that will listen to me on the internet, Father, Lord. But Lord, I'm asking for myself, Father, Lord God.
Lord, that work in my life, Father, Lord God. Bring me into those narrow places, and Father, Lord, allow me to be your workmanship, Father, Lord God. And Lord, I thank you and I praise you for this time together of sharing this 9-part series on prayer, Father, Lord. Lord, I know it's touched so many lives, and I've heard from people from all around the world how much it's meant to them, Father, Lord God. And I thank you for the opportunity to share that, Father, Lord God. And Lord, we'll give you the honor and the praise, Father, Lord, for all that you do in our life and all that you're doing in this home group meeting, Father, Lord. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord. And we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen.